This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two. Let's keep this party going. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM coming at you from Richmond, Virginia, where, take that, Alexandria, we've got renderings. We've got a stadium project, and it's maybe moving towards completion. Take that, Northern Virginia. All right, that's enough jinxing that, because it's Richmond. It's pre-jinxed. The project is almost certainly pre-jinxed. I'll believe it when I see it for the Flying Squirrels on this MLB opening day, a rain-soaked opening day, both here and nationally. A couple of games bagged already, probably more to come throughout the day. Always one of the opening day traditions, right? You never know what weather you're going to get. There's always those early season games where you get a little snow flurry in Cleveland, or they're playing in 20-degree weather in Detroit, something like that. We'll be on alert for that as the Major League Baseball season opens. I was noticing, though, that Virginia now has a trend of failed arenas, right? Navy Hill downtown here in Richmond. Virginia Beach, remember, tried to lure the Sacramento Kings a few years ago with an arena project. Now Alexandria on the books. We're still without a pro sports team since Dr. J, since the Virginia Squires. Back in the day, it's been a hot minute, as they say. I don't think Dr. J would have said that, but we can say that now about Dr. J back in his time. Lots more to come on that, I'm sure, as the fallout continues. The thing I keep coming back to is, right, you say, well, Ted Leonsis, he played this the way he had to play this, right? He had to force DC to come to the table to put up their offer. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, when they did the song and dance at Potomac Yard with Glenn Youngkin, the DC people were caught off guard. And that's not a bargaining tactic. That's a closing of the negotiations, right? Ted was frustrated with the pace DC was working at. That's well documented. And Mayor Bowser understood he was frustrated by the pace. Everybody knew that. But he did not even give them so much as a heads up. I'm going to be at Potomac Yard. I'm going to have a construction hat on. I'm going to talk about how much I love Virginia. That, to me, says he was all in on Virginia. This is the plan B. This is the Dan Quinn. This is not the Raheem Morris. So this is not the plan A. This is the plan B. This is not the Ben Johnson. This is the Dan Quinn. And you know what? I like Dan Quinn. And you know what? I like downtown DC and I like Capital One Arena. But you're not going to sell me that this was plan A in any way here as we roll along on this Thursday show. So much to get to, barely even scratched the surface of college basketball today. I haven't mentioned last night too much. VCU falls in the NIT, 74-54, 20-point loss. They basically went down 20 out of the gate, treaded water for a while. Last game for two players, Kwani, Sean Bairstow, both out. They'll play. They'll continue their careers if they want, or shut it down, move on to life. We heard from Sean Bairstow yesterday on this show. Grab it on all major podcast platforms. He's ready and prepared to go straight to Europe and begin his pro career in Europe. Said, look, this has been a frustrating year and just never was able to get his body right. So that's going to be the top priority for him now as he chases a pro career in Europe, finding a way to make sure he's at full strength before he does that and gets his body to full strength before he does that. And we wish him the best with that. We'll follow that career, and hopefully that ends good places. Obviously, a world traveler to begin with, Sean Bairstow from Australia, now off to Europe to begin his NFL career. We probably have a big week coming, and we'll keep an eye on this, right? Everybody's going in the portal. Everybody jump in the portal. Pool's open. The water's fine. Come on in. I think the pinnacle of portal happened yesterday when Padula at Virginia Tech, Sean Padula, put in, I'm entering the portal, but I'm giving strong consideration to coming back to Virginia Tech for another year. In other words, I'm turning my phone on in case anybody wants to text, but I'm not leaving the house. There's some good shows on Netflix. I think I'll make some Orville Redenbachers. pop up a little popcorn, enjoy my day here, right? That's, at some point, this becomes farcical. Everybody's just in the portal. Raekwon Horton at JMU goes into the portal. Doesn't mean he's gone. Means he wants to see who the new coach is. Means he wants to keep his options open. I don't blame him for any of that. I don't blame him for wanting to keep his options open. I just think it's a stupid system. And this whole system has been MacGyvered through court rulings and NCAA rulings and fear of NCAA, you know, regulations to a ridiculous spot, right? Now, the court says you can transfer anywhere you want. The court says you can cash in on NIL, but the NIL is, you know, limited to certain things, and the NCAA is trying to restrict that, and they're trying to get Congress to restrict it, and you can transfer, but only during portal time, but we're going to make portal time during the NCAA tournament for some stupid reason nobody knows. Nobody's in charge. Nobody is at the wheel here. We need a commissioner of college sports. And this isn't hard. You need two things immediately. You need to separate football. Football's its own beast. Football can go do whatever they want. They can go make a Super League. They can do whatever. And you see that in the tournament structures, right? Some of these SEC Big Ten coaches, Tom Izzo said it. Everybody's saying, well, maybe we should rethink inviting all the conferences to the NCAA basketball tournament. Get that thinking straight out of here, right? Separate football. Let football teams go have their money. Everybody else is their own league under the NCAA. NCAA needs to let football go, become its own thing. If Tom Izzo doesn't have all that football money, he doesn't say anything that's stupid. And if he's not in a conference that has 20 teams, UCLA, you know, and USC in a conference with Rutgers, he doesn't say things like that. So split football off right away. Number two, get a real commissioner of the NCAA who has real authority over the schools and the teams, because we don't have that right now. We have a system where teams get punished, and then they appeal forever, and their lawyers get them free. I talk about UNC a lot, but I do think they pioneered the approach, right? When they had the scandal of kids taking classes that didn't exist or were sham classes, they essentially told the NCAA, you don't have jurisdiction over what we teach educationally, right? Your mission is to administer college athletics. Why don't you stick your nose out of what classes we offer? And they won. You need a commissioner with actual authority to actually implement some of these rules. That's an important thing to do here. But basketball tonight, NIT semis next week. I don't know that we're going to have a lot of NIT semis coverage on this show, but we'll talk about tonight's games for sure. Clemson, Arizona. We got ACC basketball tonight. Clemson still hanging around. Four ACC teams in the Sweet 16. UNC will play after Clemson. I think everybody's got their eye on that Arizona-UNC matchup. And generally when that happens, when those things happen, that tells me, I don't know. I don't know that that's a sure thing, right? When you have one of those times where you say, hey, Arizona-UNC, it's going to be so fun. Caleb Love against the Tar Heels. Armando Bacot trying to go out with another Final Four. You almost never see those matchups actually come to fruition. So I got Clemson or Alabama on upset watch tonight. I don't know which one. I don't know that I trust either of them to pull the upset. And just that's my spidey sense. When you get a matchup that good, very rarely does it actually come to fruition. So hopefully we'll get it. I think Arizona against UNC would be an enormously fun time for sure. Your other regional, you got UConn against San Diego State. UConn, an 11-point favorite in the Sweet 16. Just absolutely incredible number. What they've done, tearing through people. Dan Hurley and his team, he's got them fired up. He's talking this week about how the committee hates them. He's a guy who knows how to push the right buttons. You get that sense. And then Illinois, Iowa State is the nightcap. Iowa State, of course, won the Big 12 tournament, beat Houston. Houston's still alive, barely survived A&M in the last game of the round of 32. I think Iowa State's as good as anybody right now. That's a red-hot team, and that's a fan base that I think you'll be hearing a lot about if they make the Final Four. They'll be going nuts out there in Ames, Iowa. I'll tell some Ames stories because I covered the Big 12 for a little while. That's a thing I did back in the day. We got Lane Cassidane coming up at 11:30 this morning from CBS6. Always love hearing from him. We'll get his thoughts on the world of sports as well as we get you rolling on a Thursday. I don't know if you saw, speaking of basketball, Ice Cube has offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play 10 games in his Big 3 league next year. All right, so this is the three-on-three league that Ice Cube started last year, offering Caitlin Clark $5 million to play in 10 games. This would be in addition to her WNBA earnings. And I know this is designed to be a headline-grabbing thing, but I actually think this number's low. The Caitlin Clark effect is huge, and it's real. And by the way, WNBA players playing in other leagues to supplement their income, that's a thing we've had for a long time. So I don't read too much into that. There's no like, oh my gosh, you know, and would that compromise her standing in the WNBA, anything like that? There's a long tradition of those guys going overseas. Obviously, Brittany Griner being a very prominent example of a player who went overseas. You've seen a lot less of that in recent years. And the WNBA is working to you know, raise their salaries and get to a point where they can make that full-time jobs, but it's not. But my reaction is that number's low. 10 games of Caitlin Clark on TV. Look at the impact she's had. She's drawn 4 million viewers, 3 million viewers. She's beating all or almost all of the men's basketball tournament games. When Caitlin Clark plays, people are turning off the men's tournament and watching Caitlin Clark. I know that sounds like a lot of money, $5 million for 10 games. It's not. That bid's low. Caitlin Clark could command $5 million to play a game right now. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's the truth. She's the hottest basketball player in America right now. She's commanding huge TV audiences, huge name recognition. And it's actually low, $500,000 a game. That would be a bargain to get Caitlin Clark for that. And obviously the Indiana Fever and the WNBA will get a bargain on Caitlin Clark because the WNBA salaries. She'll be just fine because of the endorsements, because of whatnot. That was my first reaction to that, though, when I saw that. I say, that's a great way to get headlines for your league. That's not a serious offer, though. That undervalues what Caitlin Clark's doing for basketball right now. Wouldn't surprise me to see her do something outside the WNBA to supplement her income to play more basketball. She's kind of at the messy stage here, right? She's going to be the show wherever she goes in the WNBA, so it'll be a fascinating rookie season for her, for sure. It's an MLB opening day. It's 9:10, The Fan. Happy to be with you on a Thursday, MP on the mic. It's also, I was told, Hazel told me yesterday, this is the start of season 3 of our podcast. We have no clue why, but every 55 shows we do, it says we've started a new season. So happy season 3, episode 2 to everybody. We're going to make this the most shocking season ever. No, that's The Bachelor. We're just going to talk sports, chop it up, solve this burger conundrum, and we're going to welcome Lane Casadonna into the show at 11:30. Before that, though, got a little more sports talk on tap for you. We'll dive back into NFL matters. I haven't talked too much about the NIT game. Maybe we'll dip into that a little bit more on the other side as VCU sees its season end. You're listening to 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM. 10:30 in Richmond, Virginia. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic. Glad you're along for this ride on a Thursday morning, MLB opening day. Doesn't feel like opening day. It feels like spring. It's a little rainy. Hopefully we'll get the rain out of here so the Flying Squirrels can have beautiful weather for their opening day in a couple weeks out at the Diamond. Look forward to another great season with them on 910 The Fan. All right, I want to dive back into this Jane Daniels column. I don't know why this is getting me worked up, but this is getting me worked up this morning. Tom Lavero and the Washington Times, whose job is to get people worked up, so kudos to him for getting me worked up. Tom Lavero and the Washington Times wrote this morning about, quote, the mom problem for Jaden Daniels, who's the LSU quarterback, who is going to be a top three pick. I think we can say semi-confidently now. I guess if J.J. McCarthy sneaks in, he's still a top five pick for sure, because Marvin Harrison will sneak in there at some point as well. But Tom Lavero writing about Jaden Daniels, had his pro day yesterday. The Commanders had their whole staff there, took Jaden Daniels out to dinner with his teammates. He says, Commanders may need to weigh, quote, mom factor on draft day. And the story is about Jaden Daniels' mom, Regina Jackson, who was at the center of a controversy at Arizona State. Jaden Daniels started at Arizona State. There was an NCAA investigation. The mom was a part of that. Jaden ended up transferring out. Now, the mom was tied to an email address that booked some flights and other things for recruits. She says she was hacked. All of that's probably, you know, legal now. I don't know the rules and regulations, but in NIL world, that's probably all solvable with NIL now. But she had some pointed social media comments for Arizona State when he left, said the fans turned on him. Now, his point is, Everybody remember RG3? RG3's family was involved and it was a nightmare. And I'm not here to disagree with that. That's true. RG3's family did create problems. RG3's dad came into the locker room after a game once, and that's bad. That doesn't happen in the NFL, right? And that created real tension on the team as the season went along. That's not what's happening here. So I just want to be very clear on that. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is a professional group of owners led by Josh Harris, Adam Peters, a professional GM, and Dan Quinn, a professional head coach, right? If RG3 was taken number two overall by the Commanders this year, he wouldn't have those things. Those people wouldn't have access to those places, right? It was a Dan Snyder problem. And we're going to have to address this more and more as we get past the Dan Snyder era, because we spent, you know, 20 years wired to, oh my gosh, what's Dan Snyder doing? You know, things are going to be a mess. You can't take this kid. He's from here. You can't take this kid. He's got family, right? We talked about that during the Caleb Williams debate, which for me is over. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams. I'm not having any more Caleb Williams debate, even hypothetically, because it sure seems like the Bears have planted their flag there. But Caleb Williams, he's from D.C. We can't do that. Chase Young was from D.C., and that turned out to be a mess. Chase Young was from D.C., and the owner's son went to high school with him, and he was allowed and encouraged to miss off-season workouts to go do Under Armour commercials, and he went and did Celebrity Family Feud instead of working with the team, right? And he had permission from the owner to be above the team, right? So that's not a reason. You can't use the past right now. Now, these guys will develop their own reputation in time. Adam Peters will develop his own reputation in time, and he will be judged by that reputation, and that will be an important thing for the future of this franchise. And you heard him talk about that yesterday, and Dan Quinn talk about that on Tuesday. This has to be a place people want to come play, right? And they're in charge of making that happen, but it also has to be a place where the coaches call the shots. It can't be a place where ownership meddles and picks favorites. And until further notice, I don't think it is. I have no hesitation with taking Jaden Daniels because of something his mom wrote on social media 4 years ago. I have no hesitation with any of that. I have no hesitation with parents being involved because, frankly, we got too many of these players whose parents are not involved and who've been raised by grandparents or who've been raised by uncles, and you hear those stories as well. I'm not going to say parental involvement is a bad thing. I'm not going to say it with Robert. I'm not going to say it, going back, with Russell Wilson, who had a very involved father, obviously, who died during college for us, but he was intensely involved with his son's development and the reason his son's an NFL player. I'm not going to call any of those bad things. They're bad things when you don't have adults in the room, a coach, an owner, a GM who draw the line and say, you can do that on your own time. When you come in this building, you're getting coached by me. And by all accounts, Jaden Daniels had that at LSU. So I got zero concerns with that involvement. I got zero concerns with that. I think we got to quit living in the past at a certain point here. I think we've got to acknowledge that at some point, this is a new regime, new ownership, and they will be judged on the things they do, right? We will call balls and strikes. We got a track record of that, but I'm not calling off of the old strike zone. I'm not calling off of Dan Snyder's strike zone. Well, you can't draft this kid because this went wrong. You can't draft this kid because this went wrong. That's not what's going on here. And I get what Tom Lavero's job is. His job is to get us to talk about this on the radio. And he raises legitimate concerns in that these are things the team has to look into. But I'm not on board with, oh, you gotta change everything now because things didn't work in the past. I'm willing to give these guys a blank slate. I'm not willing to give them like, oh, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers here. They can do no wrong. They're neutral to me, right? In my mind, we have neutral ownership at the moment. Josh Harris is not the savior. He's not the continuation of Dan Snyder. He's neutral. He's got a blank canvas. I'm going to let him start writing on it. We're going to see what comes up. And obviously, a big part of that early on is this number two draft pick, right? We've talked about that where this is a tough time for Adam Peters to be making the number two draft pick. You'd like to have that in your second year after you've evaluated the building, after you've evaluated the strength of your roster, after you've evaluated, you know, what you have and what you will have and put your scouting team in place and felt comfortable with getting a college season's worth of reports from them. Because I would venture a guess that in San Francisco, they did not spend a lot of time deliberating on what they would do if they ended up picking number two overall in the draft. So it's silly season. You're going to hear a lot of things. J.J. McCarthy, Drake May. Today's Drake May's pro day. Obviously, Jaden Daniels in that mix as well. All you hear is that J.J. McCarthy has been wildly impressive in these interviews. What does that mean? Nobody knows. That's the beauty of the draft. And obviously, the Commanders are a fully closed book. Nobody's cracking that one open. But league-wide, too, you have those guys every year who, could they go top five? Yeah. Could they go into the first round? Yeah. With Lamar Jackson, the buzz around him, right, was, oh, man, teams really love him. He's gaining. But also, like, they don't think he's a quarterback. You know, where will he go? Will Levis? Where will he go? A lot of times, those guys end up falling further than you think. But I think also we have a new generation, a new era of NFL general managers who understand most important thing you can do here is get the quarterback position right, and that's worth additional draft capital. I think it puts the Cardinals in an interesting position at number four because they're rolling with Kyler Murray, and they would really benefit from Marvin Harrison Jr., who I love. I've said before, he's my number one player on the board, regardless of position, ahead of Caleb Williams. He's a star, and he's going to be a star, and everybody sees that coming from a mile away. Doesn't mean, though, that you hang out at four if you got a team that makes a good offer. And by the way, the Raiders, with their big presence yesterday at Jaden Daniels Pro Day, the Raiders pick 13. I don't think they can get to two, right? I don't know that anybody can get to two. Only way somebody's getting to two is if the Commanders decide Bo Nix or Michael Penix is their guy, right? If it's any of the other three, if it's McCarthy, May, or Jaden Daniels, I think they're turning in the card, and I think they're staying put at two. I think that's the most likely scenario. But what if they decide it's Drake May? And what if the Patriots decide it's McCarthy, right? Could the Raiders get to four with the Cardinals? How high could they move up? So you're going to have a fun 2-3-4 here in the draft. I think the Commanders turn in the card at two, and I think people get excited about that. Didn't get a chance to go too deep into this Dak Prescott thing. So yesterday we mentioned Adam Schefter said on the Pat McAfee show, Dak Prescott, if he left, would have a dead cap number of $95 million. I just want to clarify that. That's if he leaves before this season, if they cut him. That's not going to happen. Dak Prescott will play out this season, but he has a no trade and a no tag clause, which means if the Cowboys don't re-sign or extend him, they'll be on the hook $40 million next year to not have Dak Prescott on the team. Now, that's not crippling, but the no tag really makes that a tricky situation for them that they'll have to navigate because Dak on the open market would get some silly interest. Think about if Dak were on the open market this offseason, he would have been ahead of Kirk Cousins. He would have been ahead of a lot of these guys. I think some teams that were drafting early in the draft would have considered, right? I mean, if you were the Commanders or the Bears or the Patriots or one of these teams, you would consider cutting that check and then trading out of the top three. It's a thing you'd have to consider if Dak came on the open market. That's going to be a fascinating one to watch as the season rolls along. Let me tell you something else that's been fascinating to watch. AWOD's Busty Burger Bracket. We've got ourselves in a pickle, folks, in the burger bracket. We got to break that down on the other side of this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic. On Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Well, what intrigues me, obviously, it's the transfer portal, like everything else. Seeing where these kids think they might be able to go, where they're thinking about going, and keeping an eye on that, really, because, unfortunately, that's going to be the future of college sports, is trying to see how much of your roster you can keep intact from one season to the next.
Were you surprised that Kenny Brooks left Virginia Tech? I'll be honest, like I wouldn't, if you had told me Kenny Brooks was leaving Virginia Tech, I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense. He's a good basketball coach. Like, where's he going? It's probably a top 10 school, but he'll get paid at Kentucky. But that part caught me off guard.
Well, here's what you have to remember about how coaches view these opportunities as opposed to how you and I view them. Coaches never think, oh, you know, what happens if I go there and fail? They always think, how am I going to go there and succeed? Like, what can I bring to that program that they do not have right now that's going to make them successful? Now, Kentucky has the resources, and they have the name, and they have the conference. So everything is there to set up to be successful. Now Kenny Brooks has to ask himself, what do I bring that's going to get them to that level, and can I do it? And these coaches, you know, they're like the players. They want to test themselves just as much as anybody else does. You know, does what I do work at that level? Can I be successful at the highest level of the game? And I don't think it's sacrilegious to say he took Virginia Tech just about as far as he could outside of winning a national championship, and he got real damn close
to that
last year. So he has absolutely left that program better than he found it. And as a school, that's all you can ask for out of your coaches.
Did the same at JMU, and JMU searching for a new men's coach as well. I'll be curious to watch him, because obviously he's got it, whatever it is. He's only 55. I think he can build Kentucky into something. And shoot, I mean, Kentucky's men's program these days needs a little boost as well. Maybe you could drop by, give Calipari some tips.
Well, and Calipari approaches now, he has a completely different approach to how he's going to build a roster and how he's going to be successful, and that's the dichotomy between the two of them. Kenny Brooks is going to go out and find high school players. He's going to go internationally like he did with Georgia Amor, and you know, some of these kids that he brings in from places that you and I would have never thought to look for a basketball player. So you can understand Kentucky's interest in him, and you can also understand his interest in trying to succeed. You know, he's going to be going up against Tennessee and South Carolina and LSU and the best women's programs that are out there. So it's a good chance for him to test himself. And that's coaches, you know, they want to test their players. They want to test themselves, too.
No doubt. That's Kenny Brooks headed off to Kentucky. Lane Cassidane joining us here on an MP on the Mic Thursday. Major League Baseball opening day, Lane. You and I are maybe the last two people in the world still excited about this. What's getting you fired up this year on opening day?
You know, well, hopefully that half of them will be able to play with all this weather on the East Coast moving up and raining everything out. But the thing I love about baseball is that it's every night. And it's different every night. And if one night, you know, your team gets beat 12-0, they can come back the next night and win 12-0. Football and basketball don't usually have that kind of, they don't sway that much. If a football team wins 50-0 and they played again the next week, they're probably going to win 50-0 again. And basketball is the same way. But baseball changes because the starting pitcher changes every night. And it's every single night. So for, you know, people like us who, you know, we have to have content every day, baseball is perfect for that.
Baseball's content. And, you know, my Kansas City Royals will win every once in a while. I'll be honest, it's going to be hard to root against Juan Soto, even in the pinstripes. I like that kid.
Well, and being a lifelong Yankee fan, I completely understand why people do not cheer for the Yankees, because they're the evil empire, and, you know, they always just buy their teams, which was the knock on them for so many years. But, you know, geez, they're not even the biggest spenders anymore. The Dodgers and the Mets and all these teams spend all this money now. You just have to spend it wisely. And remember, Soto's only there for a year. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So this is kind of a one-year rental for the Yankees to see how well he can do, how well they can do with him. And if he wants to stick around, it's going to cost him.
I mean, you can at least say this, though. It rough spring training for the Yankees. At least they're not the Red Sox. So they've already thrown in the towel.
Boy, and you know what? That's sad. And I absolutely loathe the Boston Red Sox because I'm a Yankee fan. But for the good of the game, that can't happen. You cannot have one of your preeminent legacy franchises be as indifferent and immaterial as the Boston Red Sox are already. That's not good for the sport.
No, not at all. Lane Cassidane joining us. All right, local baseball. We got drawings, renderings of a Flying Squirrel Stadium came out yesterday. I'm sure you saw them. We've seen renderings before. We've seen ideas before. We've seen promises before. We saw a moat at a football stadium at RFK once. What's What's your feeling? Are we getting closer to something actually happening here? Give me a rain of sunshine on a cloudy day, Lane.
Sorry, you know what I don't see? I don't see a shovel.
You and me both. Put a shovel in the ground, and then I'll get excited.
When they show me a shovel, then I'll get excited. I have seen renderings for 25 years. I have seen ideas where they dig up the entire field at the diamond, lower it 15 feet, move it out 15 feet, and take the top off, you know, the concrete jungle that's over there now. I would like to be positive, and I think that somebody like Parney, who has obviously ingratiated his organization into the community in a way that maybe others haven't, and in a time frame, you know, it's a relatively short amount of time. They've only been here 13 or 14 years. And, you know, going to a Squirrels game is now an event as opposed to going to a sporting event.
Yep.
And that's different. You get a different caliber of people that will go just because it's a night out and it's fun. And they may not care what happens in between the lines. They'll applaud if the team wins. But if they lose, they're not devastated either. And that's not an easy thing to do in sports. Usually you only get people who are so heavily invested that their next day will not be as good if their team didn't win the night before. And the Squirrels have managed to somehow rewrite that. And, you know, if there's no stadium and, God forbid, you know, Major League Baseball says we're done with this and we're taking them someplace where they'll be better appreciated, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but there'd be a really big hole in this area if they weren't around anymore. And it's just going to come down to people not worrying about who gets the credit for making it happen and just being more interested in actually seeing it happen.
You know, I think over that time, the fans, the people, the residents, everybody's seen, like, this is not an easily replaceable organization, right? And no disrespect to the R Braves, but they didn't do half of this, you know, in the community and the entertainment and all that, and the urgency to get something done and really make that felt. And you're right, because for the first 8 years of the Squirrels, they had to make you feel good, win or lose, because they lost a lot. The Giants didn't send any of their good prospects, but now back-to-back playoff appearances, they've had a lot of talent roll through over the last couple of years. Always fun to watch. Lane Casadane was down in spring training with them. Did that special for CBS6. Will you guys do anything tonight after the basketball on CBS6?
Actually, tonight I have a story on a guy named Spencer Bivens who pitched for the Squirrels last year. And last year was his first year at the AA level. He was a middle reliever, made a couple of spot starts, I believe. He pitched reasonably well for them. But the journey that Spencer has taken to get to Richmond is one that is worth paying attention to and hearing about. He made probably no fewer than 14 different stops, three or four colleges, three foreign countries, and in some towns you probably never heard of before, playing independent ball just to get his opportunity to pitch for a major league franchise and organization. And one of the nicest guys that you'd ever want to meet, and we are going to profile what it took to get him just to Richmond last year tonight after basketball.
I'm excited for that, and thank you for taking one for the team and going down to Scottsdale in February. I know that wasn't easy.
I tell you what, you know, flying these days is not, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world, but I do it just because, you know, I know how much it means to everyone.
Lane Casadane, enjoy the games. CBS 6 tonight. Thank you, Lane. We'll catch up with you next week, hopefully. And we'll take a break here. We'll step aside on MLB opening day. Everybody's got hope. Everybody's 0-0, except the Boston Red Sox. Of course, they do not have hope this year. As Lane mentioned, that's crazy. A signature franchise. And that was a lot of the talk around the Commanders, right? Right before they were sold was, you've got one of the NFL's marquee franchises. You got to be able to market it every time they play the Giants, the Eagles, the Cowboys. You got to get those games in prime time with viewership. And we'd hit the point where it just wasn't happening anymore. And I think that was a big reason why Dan Snyder was pushed to sell. I don't think the personal stuff had a lot to do with it in the end. I think the financial stuff had a lot to do with it in the end. Those last couple of years, they're slumming it on NFL Network games against the Giants. Those are the ones you need for that TV inventory. Move some product, and I think there's hope on the horizon. Certainly, a number two quarterback is not going to hurt. Today's Drake May Pro Day. We're keeping an eye on that. One more segment to go. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. We'll get you set up for AWOD Radio. 3 hours on tap today. Grant and Danny will drive you home. I know Grant and Danny will have some opening day thoughts of their own. We'll look forward to that. All that still to come. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.